Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of the most difficult issues for me when I was training for the seminary to become a pastor was integrating my spiritual life with my personal life. There's certainly an expectation of holiness that the people of God have for their pastor, and as well they should. But shouldn't what is true of pastors also be true of the people of God? Isn't faith all about so trusting in the name of God, His values, and His way of life, that they should become first in our personal lives, as in our spiritual lives? In the gospel today from Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is instructing His disciples about just such a thing and how difficult it would be for them and for us. Why is it difficult? Well, how about persecution? Jesus warned the disciples that they would be persecuted, and then He said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of the household? It is so much easier today to be a spiritual chameleon, blending in with the society, than to stand up as a follower of Jesus Christ." We've all felt that discomfort and uneasiness of being a disciple of Jesus when, for instance, we feel that desire to pray for a meal in a public place, a restaurant, for instance, or praying with our family who know us oh so well, or when we have the opportunity to speak out for Christ when His name is being mocked. It can be downright awkward to bring together our spiritual lives with our personal lives, don't you think? So often it feels as though our relationship with God has very little overlap with the relationships we have with the people closest to us. And yet we sense that the two ought to be right together. We want to respond to the Bible's challenge to have undivided hearts. But what do we do about it? Here's a couple of ideas. One of the keys to having an undivided heart is the knowledge that you have value. Jesus illustrates this in Matthew's gospel, saying that sparrows are pretty cheap. Two for a penny. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. He assures His followers with the words, "And even the hairs of your head are all counted." Yeah, I know the jokes. It changes, doesn't it? He knows. So don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. That I am worth more than two sparrows isn't always a comforting thought, but it is humbling. And yet, if God cares for the little sparrow, how much more does God value you and me, the crown of His creation? Do you know the value of a human life? Well, here in the United States, they've actually calculated that. Believe it or not, an actual dollar value has been put on each of our heads. It's about $5 million. That should make you feel a little better, huh? I got this from an internet article written by Natalie Wolchover in the August 2011 edition of Life Science. The example she uses to explain our value goes like this. When hurricane shelters are being built along the Gulf Coast, calculations are done that include the cost of building the shelter plus the cost of maintaining the shelter between hurricanes. And this is compared to the number of people who will be saved by the shelter multiplied by 5 million. Are you with me? I know numbers do that to me too. If the total value of the people saved is greater than the cost of construction and maintenance, then the shelter is built. Does that seem a little callous to you? But before you judge this mindset, consider this. The author writes in the same article, if you strongly object to this whole concept and think that every life is priceless, you might consider this. Around 30,000 people die in car accidents in the United States every year. Close to zero would die if the government reduced the speed limit to 13 miles an hour. But do you want that to happen? And I can tell by your laughter, you don't. So then, she goes on to say, you're basically saying that driving faster than 13 miles an hour is worth tens of thousands of lives. Whoa, think about it. While Jesus might have given a numerical value to human life, he really didn't. He simply said that you're of more value than sparrows, and even more valuable than the $5 million individuals being counted for shelter buildings along the Gulf Coast. Never, ever doubt your value in the eyes of God. Jesus took what might be considered the most insignificant of the animal bird kingdom and explained how God cares for them, arguing that if God cares for these little insignificant creatures, how much more does he care and love you? Being undivided in our relationships has to begin with understanding that we are of infinite value to God the Father, who loves and cares for us more than we could ever imagine. The second thing we can do to learn to integrate our spiritual lives with our personal lives among each other is to acknowledge Jesus. As valuable people, we are challenged to see Jesus as valuable as well. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me, Jesus said, before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Living with an undivided heart means that we value Jesus in this life. And he promises on his life to value us in this life and in the next. Preacher and author O.S. Hawkins tells the story, it's a fictional story, of a rich merchant who was searching all over the Mediterranean region for the Apostle Paul. And he runs into young Timothy, Paul's colleague, who arranged for the merchant to visit the apostle while he was being held prisoner in Rome. Entering the jail cell, the merchant was surprised to find Paul looking old and physically spent. And yet, Paul had a deep sense of inner peace, and they talked for hours and hours. After the visit, the merchant asked young Timothy, "What is the key to the Apostle Paul's power? I've never seen anything like it." And Timothy replied, "Paul is in love." In love? Asked the merchant. Yes, Timothy answered. Paul is in love with Jesus Christ. The man looked all the more confused. Is that all? He asked. And with a smile, Timothy answered, Ah, but that is everything. Paul was in love with Jesus, and that was everything. He acknowledged Christ's value in everything he did. The same can be true of us. We are given in Jesus his life, and we are given his example of what a life of love is all about. We are reminded of the importance of forgiveness and are given the strength to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Above all, we are given a clear sign of God's intention for our lives, that we love one another as he has loved us, as Jesus has loved us. Acknowledging Jesus and living in love is crucial to having an undivided heart. The third key to having an undivided heart, or integrating the spiritual and personal parts of our lives, is clarity and consistency. In Matthew, Jesus is speaking to his followers in a time of persecution. He counsels them to be as wise as serpents and yet as innocent as doves. He predicts that they, like the apostle, will be handed over to councils, flogged and dragged before governors and kings, and yet he promises that they will be given the exact right words to speak by the Spirit of their Father in heaven. After encouraging them not to be worried or fearful, Jesus says, What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Jesus instructs them to be clear and consistent with his message, carrying it from dark to light, from whispers to loud proclamations. He challenges them to do this even when they face deadly threats, saying that they should not fear those who kill the body, but rather him who can kill the soul. We may not face such life and death situations today, but we too are given the challenge of speaking about our faith with clarity and consistency. Our hearts should be undivided when we share the words of Jesus with the world around us, because Jesus wants us to reach the world. He wants to reach the world through us. Author Chris Glaser, in his commentary on Matthew, says, Jesus had no intention of starting a cult. There, I got to spit that out right. He didn't want to start a cult, an exclusive religious club with secret wisdom and rituals which only an elite hierarchy will rule and be saved. Instead, Jesus wants the good news of his unconditional love to be shared with everyone, clearly and consistently. How do we do this? We can do this by telling our faith stories to one another in small groups or in services of worship. But let me warn you that while it may feel good to be part of a small group Bible study, another group that meets to study God's Word, if it becomes a place of gossip and not a place where faith stories are shared, it will not lead to an undivided heart, nor the integration of the spiritual with the personal life. We must be careful. But telling our faith stories can be such a creative thing today. We can do it by, believe it or not, using social media, which so many of you do for so many other things. Post pictures of mission trips. We have Elena here who writes me a beautiful letter, it seems like, every month, and I'm terrible at responding back to her, but I can tell her right now publicly I appreciate every one of those letters because it talks about the mission that she's doing at University of Kentucky. What a blessing that is to have her there, clearly, consistently proclaiming God's word. And lives are changed. She shares that through the social media, through any other means that God has given. So instead of maybe putting political things on the Facebook page, we can use our site to tell our friends what motivates us to have an active life of faith in the church. You see, faith isn't a private matter, but we often treat it that way. Harry Wendt, who developed the Crossways Bible study, used to say, either Christianity will destroy privatization, or privatization will destroy Christianity. I think he's right. God's people should be exercising their faith by using every form of communication given us. Because of social media, we don't have to be a Billy Graham who has the right to get onto the radio. Each one of us has a special sphere of influence to proclaim the good news with clarity and consistency simply by telling our faith stories. The last key to bringing together the private and the public part of our lives, the spiritual and the personal, if you will, is being grounded in love. Instead of seeing our relationship with God as something entirely different from our relationships with people around us, we can begin to see that all human love fits into God's loving design for our lives. This process begins with seeing ourselves and other people around us with God's value. It continues with loving one another just as Jesus had loved us, acknowledging Jesus' value in everything we do. And it concludes with a willingness to share the good news of Christ's unconditional love with people around us clearly and consistently. Then we're able to have what the Bible calls undivided hearts. When we come to the realization that love of God and love of neighbor should never be divided, we have an undivided love. The psalmist wrote, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. The way of the Lord is to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." Undivided hearts. To walk in God's truth is to do what is right and to speak the truth from your heart and not to do evil to your friends. Undivided hearts. To revere Jesus is not just to call out, "Lord, Lord," but it is to do what God commands. Undivided hearts. There is in all of us, I believe, a longing for love, a hunger to love, to be loved, and to move closer to that source of love. While some may see this as being just a human, natural thing, contact with Jesus, who demonstrated his love for us by suffering and dying, is the only way to attain a truly undivided heart. Our longing for love is best satisfied by following our Savior, the one who values us, acknowledges us, and who offers us unconditional love and a life that goes on into eternity. He is the one who keeps our spiritual lives and our personal lives together without awkwardness or embarrassment. He is the one who satisfies our hunger to love, to be loved, and to move closer to that source of love. You see, Jesus always is walking ahead of us in public and private, showing us the way to love both God and neighbor with undivided hearts. May God, the Holy Spirit, open our hearts to God that we may see our value through His eyes. Acknowledge Jesus as our example and the demonstrator of the undivided life, and communicate His message clearly and consistently, the message of loving care for us and for all people. Let our prayer today be, Lord Jesus, give us undivided hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.